Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We do it each and every day. It's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical Man. 770-901-2500 for man caves, home security, and home monitoring at a fraction of the cost. Give them a buzz, guys. Still time to get that thing done for the holidays.
All right, guys. We've been talking a lot today about the Justin Fields story and what it means. But it's also recruiting time. And early signing period is going to happen Wednesday, December 19th. And here to talk with us about it is our man, Seth Emerson. And we love talking with Seth about a variety of things in regards to the dogs.
Oh, by the way, Athletic makes a great stocking stuffer. Get that Athletic subscription for the special dog person in your life.
Well, they've got all the best guys. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm not just talking about the guys here locally. Around the country, from guys that I've known for years or covered or have known for that, should I say. They've got the best guys writing for them. With that, Seth Emerson, good afternoon. Crazy 24 hours or so with this news. And I want to start there, but I also want to talk some recruiting with you because it's such a big deal with where the dogs may end up. What do you make of this Justin Fields story? And I know, again, it has not been confirmed by the school as of yet.
Yeah, hasn't been confirmed, hasn't been denied. Justin Fields has been very quiet. So you'd think that they wouldn't just have this hang out there if there wasn't anything to it. And clearly there's something to it. My read of the situation is that Georgia wants to punt this down the road as long as they can. They're practicing right now. Justin Fields was practicing yesterday with the team, even though apparently he and his family had already decided to inform Georgia, or they already had informed Georgia that he wanted to transfer. I expect that he's practicing right now, but don't know for sure. And I think the plan at this point is for him to be with the team through the Sugar Bowl. And if you're Georgia, what you're hoping is that he's spending that time being a great teammate and realizing he truly loves Georgia and wants to stick around. On the other hand, once Justin Fields goes in that NCAA transfer portal, it's a new thing, but means if you go in there, then other schools are free to contact you. He's going to be inundated. He's going to hear from a lot of teams that are interested, and no one ever says it publicly, but, you know, privately, some schools would probably promise him a starting job, and Georgia just can't do that right now.
And that's the thing, Seth. We've had a lot of responses from Georgia fans kind of really ultimately freaking out over this. I know you've seen the same stuff on social media. I do believe there'll be more guys, and we're going to talk about some of the players in the pipeline. Do you think this hurts Georgia just because you could argue that he was mishandled or just maybe not used to the extent we thought, like a Tim Tebow, Chris Leak scenario?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely seem like they forced it this year. And when they stopped forcing it, they took off. Jake Fromm's best game was against Florida when Fields didn't get any snaps. That doesn't mean that Justin Fields isn't good. It's just they didn't figure out how to use him. Maybe with a full offseason in the system and continuing to learn, Fields would have the ability to catch up to Jake Fromm and wrest the starting job from him. But, man, Jake Fromm's 23-4 as a starter. And he's not just along for the ride. I put this in my column last night. I went to the NCAA quarterback efficiency rating or QB rating, whatever they call it. And nationally, number one's Kyler Murray. Heard of him. Number two is Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Heard of him. Number three is Jake Fromm.
Wow.
So it's just, I think Fields sees the writing on the wall. And the key thing here is, what is Jake Fromm's future after next year? If Jake Fromm was such a surefire NFL prospect that he was, you know, a Matt Stafford type, or what people thought Jacob Eason would be, which was a three-year guy, then Justin Fields and his family may sit back and say, all right, you know, maybe we have to sit one more year, but the job's definitely ours, 2020 and on. But the problem is Jake Fromm is not a surefire NFL guy. You know, he might be too short for some people's liking. His arm might not be strong enough for some people's liking. So that's, I think, where this is coming from, is Justin Fields is saying, I want to go play, I want to go start, and there's just no assurance that here is the best place for it.
Seth Emerson, our guest here on Dukes and Bell, guys. Seth on the WadeFord.com hotline as we talk about the Dogs and recruiting right around the corner. The field story will play itself out, guys, one way or the other, with Justin making a decision to either stay. As I don't believe that's the case, and, you know, most people probably don't hearing this now, Seth. But let's shift gears, and if you are a quarterback that's now being recruited by Georgia, is this more attractive knowing that Fields could possibly be gone, and what are they trying to do there?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're a quarterback, if you're John Reese Plumlee, the one who's committed, but Georgia has asked him to blue shirt, which basically means don't sign but enroll in the summer. If you're John Reese Plumlee and you feel like you still feel good about that offer from Georgia and how much they want you, you're looking at this and you're going, huh, this is not bad. This is taking out the guy that was ahead of me. If you're Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback in Hawaii that James Coley, the quarterback's coach, has made two trips to see, I think this makes Georgia more attractive. And I'm feeling Georgia's kind of ramped up its recruiting and may have some other offers out there, including for 2019. It should make it more attractive for people in the following class, too, because you're looking at situation where Justin Fields is not going to be there. And, you know, the thing is, this wasn't unexpected. There's a reason that these Justin Fields rumors have been around for a while, because anytime you've got two guys with that level of talent who are separated by just 1 year,
right?
Everyone can look at a depth chart. Everyone can look at playing time and say, is this going to work? DJ Shockley even told me when I talked to him in the preseason about this, he said, it's a different world now. Like, you know, everyone points to DJ Shockley and what a great dog he was and for doing what he did. And he does deserve that credit, but it's a different world now. Guys don't wait around. And that Justin Fields, in all likelihood, isn't right. going to do that. Now, I'm not going to close the door. I'm not going to say he's definitely gone. He's not gone until he's gone. We've seen Kirby Smart. He has some very good persuasive powers. I didn't think Nick Chubb and Sony Michel had any chance of returning for their senior year, and they did.
Right.
But, well, you know, it obviously is headed in the other direction here with Justin Fields.
It is our man Seth Emerson, guys, from The Athletic. Great job. Get The Athletic for your Christmas gift, why don't you, and enjoy. He's joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Said the same thing earlier. I agree with you 100%, Seth. I mean, Fromm has just elevated his game. I don't think he's like, as short as Drew Brees. I think this guy, if he keeps on this – on this level, he'll be an NFL quarterback. I know some people feel he's, you know, middle round pick. Either way, you're going to still have quarterbacks rolling in, and they wouldn't have sent two trips to Hawaii about Gabriel if they didn't really anticipate this. It's not like Kirby and his staff got blindsided by Fields, right?
No, I think they knew. And the talk about them looking for a second quarterback in this class began about halfway through this season. And once I started to hear that talk, that they were looking for another one, your antenna went up. You know, maybe there was a meeting, maybe there wasn't, but just, you know, coaches know. They get that sense. So I like I said, everyone had to know this was a possibility. I wasn't floored when I saw the report last night, because the rumors had been really ticking up the last 24, 48 hours. And in the locker room after the SEC championship, I asked Fields about his future, and I was right there when he was asked even more directly, and he didn't close the door. The question to him was actually, can you end the speculation about you transferring? And he didn't do that. He didn't basically acknowledge it. He answered it fairly well. He answered it, frankly, the way Jacob Eason did last year, which means that it was in his mind.
Hey, here's the thing about the team right now. You've got a lot of underclassmen. I mean, the good news is you've got a lot of the future is still bright. Obviously, for Georgia, the recruiting class may be one or two. What about this wide receiver core next year moving forward? I mean, is Demetrius Robertson going to have an impact? Obviously, we saw Holloman become the man this year.
Yeah, to be decided. Let's see what happens recruiting-wise with Jaden Hazelwood. A lot of talk that field status might be tied to Hazelwood. I've heard that's not necessarily the case. We'll let that play out. I don't think we're going to have resolution on that one tomorrow from what I hear. It sounds like he'll make his commitment publicly at this All-Star game in early January, but then early enroll. But also we're waiting to see what Mecole Hardman and Riley Ridley do. They're definitely thinking about the NFL. So, I don't know that both of them would go. One of them could go, or they both could stay. They're very much in the air. The one that, if I had to bet, if any Georgia players leave, it would be Isaac Nauta. But that one's not even certain yet either. I mean, he was out there practicing yesterday too.
Seth, what's it going to take to get Hazelwood? This kid is special. I think he, you know, and it's no secret. I mean, anybody that's following recruiting, the kid catches the game-winning touchdown in the state championship, and you go, ooh, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've probably shown with the way they've thrown it this year that they're a little bit more of an aired-out offense, despite all the talk about being a run-oriented, physical team. But yeah, I mean, you don't know what these kids are doing, what they're looking for. I think the guy that people may not be talking about enough is Dominic Blaylock. I did a big story on him and his lineage, but how, you know, he was raised by people, you know, his mother and stepfather and brothers and everything. He's a five-star that people haven't talked about because he committed 2 years ago and there's been just no drama around him. So he projects into that Mecole Hardman, Terry Godwin kind of slot receiver, but can also go outside and do stuff kind of stuff too. So, and they've got some other, you mentioned Demetrius Robertson. Didn't happen for him this year, but you know, he was a five star for a reason, and maybe he just needed a full off season in the system. So we'll see. We'll see. I think they're in pretty good shape at receiver, no matter what Ridley and Hardman do, but I think they would much rather Ridley and Hardman come back.
It is Seth Emerson, guys from The Athletic, talking about a big day today for Georgia as, again, still nothing confirmed, but all indicators pointing that Justin Fields will be on somebody else's team next year.
He gone.
Seth, what about SEC championship hangover? We've seen Alabama. Kirby was on that staff that lost to both Oklahoma and Utah. I mean, can Georgia get their head right for this game?
Yeah, I mean, it would probably be good to not have these distractions going on. Yeah, I mean, I get back to you make a good point about Alabama had some games where they just weren't into it. 2 years ago, Georgia was able to get up for it and win the Liberty Bowl when you would have thought, you know, there's a excuse to kind of pack it in. He's proven himself as a motivator. They haven't had that trouble, really. They've obviously had a stinker each year, each of the last 2 years. At Auburn, at LSU, but I don't know. I mean, I just think Georgia ultimately has too much for Texas. As a proud graduate of the University of Maryland, unaware that we have a football program, I just know that Texas lost to Maryland. I know it was a long time ago, but still. So I think Georgia is going to have less motivation than Texas. They're probably going to have less fans rolling around Bourbon Street than Texas. There's going to be more excitement among the Texas fan base.
Right.
I got an email today saying that like 53% of the tickets on some market are going to Texas fans, or at least from Texas.
We travel well.
Yeah. So, yeah, but ultimately Georgia's still talented. So if Texas is at like 90% of regular season motivation and Georgia's at like 60 to 75%, that still might be enough for Georgia to win the game.
All right, guys, in review, we did hear the word from at least there's an impression that there's still a slim chance that Fields could stay. So if you're a Georgia fan, go on social media and beg him to stay. Don't be snarky. Don't be talking about, can't believe these kids are leaving. Well, if you were the number one prospect in the country, you might have some options too. You know what I mean? Real quick, Seth, Florida State, Ohio State, Oklahoma, all of the above for Fields.
I'm sure that all of those programs. I do know that I've in the vast empire that The Athletic is building up. I have spoken to, I've heard from beat writers at each of those three institutions today, as in
right,
know, where you know for in some form, but more as in like let's you know not as in like oh I hear it's happening here, more like all right we need to get ready to follow this and that kind of thing. Yeah, let's see where he goes first, or you know just make sure that he is on the way out, and the very interesting part of it is going to be eligible for 2019. That's something that they're pushing for, and it'll be really first we'll find out whether he's definitely leaving, and if he is, then we'll be interested to see how it plays out as far as whether he'll be eligible right away.
Seth, great job. Continue the great job for The Athletic. Read his stuff, guys. If you don't have a subscription, get one. Seth Emerson, happy holidays, man. Thank you so much.
Happy holidays, guys.
More on the Dogs, guys, with the early signing period, should I say, on Wednesday, Mike.
Yep, we'll have some news for you. Randy McMichael, Big Dog, will be in for Carl tomorrow on vacays. We'll be up at Falcons after a nice win over Arizona. But what does it mean? More on that coming up. And also, what do you guys think? Georgia fans, you know, obviously people in their feelings today about this whole situation.
Of course, we talk dogs every day. It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox Electrical, guys, 770-901-2500 or go to brightboxelectrical.com. Get that man cave, home security, home monitoring, and more.
Blitz is next.
I'm Mike Conteen. For the first time in 10 days, the Hawks have a home game tonight as they welcome the new-look Wizards to town. The Hawks have lost three in a row, including a blowout defeat Sunday in Brooklyn. Lloyd Pierce says it's part of the growing pains for his rookies.
They'll both go up and down. They'll have good games. They'll have tough nights. And they've got to stay poised and stay together because there's going to be a ton of ups and downs with all of our guys.
Pre-game coverage starts at 7 p.m. on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the Hawks' only home game between now and the day after Christmas. Multiple outlets are reporting that freshman quarterback Justin Fields is seeking a transfer from UGA. The school has not confirmed that. Fields was the number one rated high school senior in the country last year, but played sparingly behind Jake Fromm this year. Ito Smith's season is over for the Falcons after the team announced Monday that he'll have to undergo a procedure on his knee. Dan Quinn says it's also unlikely that Devontae Freeman will practice this week ahead of their road game Sunday at Carolina. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Mike Conte from the Kia Studios on your home of Sunday's Falcons-Panthers game. Kickoff at 1, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9
The Game.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium will be the home for Super Bowl 53, February 3rd, 2019.
Hey, let's get this thing popping, man!
The Super Bowl in Atlanta plays here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Our thanks to Seth Emerson for stopping by from The Athletic. We've been talking about it all afternoon. If you're just joining us, thank you. It is Dukes and Bell. As Mike said, kind of want to get your opinion on this, and you can always text the show at 404-741-0929. I know there are a lot of dog fans who get it, who understand it, and say, you know what, whatever is best for the young man, I'm all for it. And there are other dog fans who have hit us up today via Twitter, Mike, and said, wait a minute, why not get him to stay? Why not have him buy into the idea of this is going to ultimately be his program? The problem is, guys, you can't force Jake Fromm out. And what I mean by that is if Fromm plays well next year, which I assume he will, he's only getting better, he's continued to progress, there's no guarantee he's going to go to the NFL. And, you know, you can't promise Justin Fields that. What Justin Fields can promise himself is if he goes somewhere else, he'll get playing time.
Yeah, I know that a lot of guys, and we've heard all the different dynamics. Number one, you get the hardcore Georgia fan who doesn't want to hear anything negative about his program. And this is not a negative. It is what it is in 2018. It's not like the old days, as we talked about with Seth Emerson, where, you know, and we, you know, we're buddies with Shock. We love DJ Shockley. And truth be told, Shockley could have probably gone somewhere else and gotten to the NFL and been a higher draft pick, and who knows where it goes. He had to wait for David Green. They used him. They had packages specifically for him. The next to last season, then Green left, and then eventually DJ got his shot. But, I mean, I do think in the case of Fields, he's going to be a star somewhere. You, in a perfect world, yes, he would sit there 2 years, like they used to do at Florida State when Mark Richt had a good thing going. They'd have a guy like Charlie Ward would be there for 2 years, and the next guy's there for 2 years, and guys sit and they watch and they get to play some, you know, some backup role, and then you get the chance to go for 2 years to make it happen. Nowadays, these star quarterbacks, they've got the juice, and the NCAA is allowing it because the NCAA realizes that, you know, if they make one more bad decision, the Power Five Conference is going to say, you know what, we're going to have our own sanctioning body for football, and you can run women's volleyball and baseball. I do think that's a real – I think that's a real part of why the NCAA has loosened up their restrictions when it comes to kids transferring now.
Yeah, I also think, Mike, the public outcry from a lot of fans, and for that matter, I just think the schools themselves, the ADs, the coaches – it makes sense. You know, you look like an idiot organization when you have coaches leaving whenever they feel like it, switching jobs whenever they feel like it, and yet you punish the kids it just doesn't make sense. So now when you have an opportunity, when it is done the right way, don't get me wrong, I don't think freshmen who commit and sign a letter of intent should be able to transfer the next day,
right,
you know, because they've got to change of heart. But when these kind of things happen, it only makes sense. And I've said this. I know that the fundamental problem with this, and we've had this conversation for years in regards to college football since I've been doing talk radio, and that is, well, if you allow kids to do this, then you're just basically opening up free agency. That's what happens, because you're going to allow kids to transfer wherever they want and do whatever they want. And guess what? When these coaches leave, they'll leave with the player. These players will leave with them. And that's the fundamental problem.
Now, yes, in a perfect world, kids are all mentally tough, because it's not just the star quarterback. I mean, you could be a big time. Look, we had a tight end for Georgia go home because he was homesick this week. You know, I mean, not everybody is dealing with things the same way. I mean, you might have a, because newsflash, you get recruited up for like 18 months. You finally sign, and then your butt is theirs. And then maybe it's not what you thought you signed on for. You know, so you hope the kids are mentally tough and they don't just start willy-nilly ditching programs and splitting. But Fields is a rarefied air, five-star, number one recruit that everybody wants. And that's the thing. So hardcore Georgia fans are upset. Then you got people who love Fields more than Georgia, and they feel he didn't get his shake. And you're not giving Jake Fromm his fair shake.
No, you're not.
Jake Fromm has elevated his game. Fromm is going to go to the – I believe in my heart he's going to go – I don't know where he's going to get picked, but I think he's going to be able to start in the NFL.
I have this question, and Mike, I've gotten it all day, and I will say this. Unfortunately, there is a tinge of the racial component.
Right.
Okay? Kirby Smart's job is to win. That's it. Doesn't matter what the guy looks like. He'd be green, blue, orange, whoever's playing quarterback, who's ever playing running back. It doesn't matter. So from that standpoint, I've heard that today from some folks, not all, about, you know, well, I've been a Georgia fan for this amount of time, and here's another guy. This is what it is, and these are the circumstances. And it is unfortunate. And there's nobody that wanted Justin Fields to maybe play at Georgia more than us. I was excited that Georgia was even able to get the number one guy in their backyard.
Right. Remember, he was going to Penn State
initially.
Right. That was where he was supposed to land.
So, you know, let's understand what this is in this moment. And Kirby Smart has one job. That's to win. And guess what? Dog fans, if he does that with an orange quarterback, it doesn't matter. We're all happy at the end of the day if we're playing for national championships. So that, in my opinion, is the least of any discussions that need to be had when it comes to this particular discussion about Justin Fields. This is basically a young man who's just looking for an opportunity to play, period.
Now, as far as where some Georgia fans today are coming back and clapping back at us, I mean, there are some mistakes that were made in how he was used. You know, and if you missed the conversation with Seth Emerson, you know, you and I were screaming those seven tries from inside the one. Now, Grim, by that time, the game was pretty much at hand, but you still felt, you know what, there's a time. Just put him in the shotgun, let him sprint to the end zone and get a touchdown. They didn't use him. Fromm went on and had some big throws. Look at the touchdown throws that Fromm makes in the Florida game. And it's not that Fields can't, but you got to let your starter be in a rhythm. So at some point, either Kirby didn't have a plan or they didn't. And we've heard everything from, well, he didn't know the playbook. I think he knows the playbook, okay? They just didn't know how to use the kid.
Yeah, don't downplay his ability, Mike, with that. I think that's – honestly, I think that's tragic. When you start to go there, well, he didn't know the playbook.
He's a sharp kid. You hear the sound bites, okay? I mean, this kid, he's going to go be a star somewhere. But it doesn't – it does. It's not a black mark against Georgia. You might have another stud quarterback coming in from Hawaii, and now the scenario is even better because if Fromm keeps going like he's going, he'll probably leave for the NFL. Maybe he stays for another year. But perhaps, hopefully – you're going to have a kid in there, Gabriel from Hawaii, who's going to stick around. Dylan Gabriel's a young man's name. You've also got a dual Plumber. Threat from Miss Plummer. Yeah. So, but I get it. Yes, you wanted to utilize these guys. We all thought it would be like Leak and Tebow in Florida. What was that, 2006 that season? It just didn't happen. I do say that Shane is culpable in this, and he didn't develop a plan that was, let's be honest, it was properly executed when it came to Fields.
Quick NFL blitz.
Hey. Hey. Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Sometimes on the show there are other pressing matters, but we got to get to an NFL Blitz. Brought to you by our friends at Jim Ellis Key of Kennesaw. Saints win last night. They all pretty much have locked up home field advantage, Mike, in the NFC. That's certainly not good news for us because, guys, as I said, I don't think anybody's going into New Orleans and beating the Saints. It could certainly happen. We'll see how the playoffs play out, but after their win last night, the Rams and the Bears still have an outside chance of catching the Saints for the number one conference seed, but it probably will not happen.
Let me just throw this at you because a couple of Falcon fans brought this up to me this week. I mean, I should say this afternoon after watching that game last night. If you held them to 12 points and we beat Carolina, if we're healthier, can we hang with the Saints? Yes, we should have beat the Saints here at home.
Yep.
And we were obviously in the game, and we blew it with turnovers down in New Orleans. It's not like they're unbeatable, but the way their defense is playing and you throw in the home field advantage at the Superdome, I'm with you, brother. It's hard to see somebody going in there and beating them.
I want you to hear Drew Brees talking about last night's win, because Brees, it was ugly, guys, if you didn't watch it. I mean, you know, when you score 12 points, but at the end of the day, it's a W.
Bottom line is, you go on the road in the division, especially Monday Night Football, against a team that has a ton to play for, right? They're still fighting for a playoff spot. And you know it's going to be a battle.
It was a battle. Meanwhile, the Cardinals apparently, at least the word is, that they're going to fire their coach, Mike, Steve Wilks. Report came out in the Arizona Republic that basically said, this is a foregone conclusion. Understand, this is his first year.
Well, the team really was in the game. If you remember how bad and sluggish the Falcons looked to start the first quarter, Debo on that wheel route trying to cover David Johnson, and then you get the deflection off of Vic. Debo takes it to the house, and I was watching the Cardinals. All the defensive players on the Cardinals bench, Carl, literally, oh, hell no. And that's exactly what happened. That's human nature. Rookie quarterback just gave it right back to you. And then we were off and running, obviously blowing doors.
Coming up at 5, we're going to talk more about this in the Falcon Report. But if you missed it today, Tom Pelissero saying that there will be, or there's a strong possibility of, changes with the coaching staff for our Atlanta Falcons. He threw out the name, possibly Darren Bevell as the OC.
No!
Yeah. We're hoping to catch up with Coach Hunter here on Dukes and Bell and talk a little Georgia State with him. We'll get caught up with the latest coming up with Ron Hunter. Meanwhile, if you're just jumping in and jumping on the program, a lot of stuff happening today, man. And I was just talking with the stand in the bullpen, and he was like, man, you guys are talking about Justin Fields. I heard you guys talking about Justin Fields. Guys, he's a local kid. He's a Georgia boy. And Mike, this is ultimately going to be big news.
Right.
You know, as we talk about the number one recruit in last year's recruiting class, you know, which was kind of the cherry on top. He had already made the decision, but, you know, you saw all these other young men make the decision to come to Georgia. And I said, it was almost like these guys played the telephone game and picked up the phone and were like, where are you going? Right. Okay, I'm coming. Where are you going? And all of a sudden, you saw Georgia just rack up. Don't know how this year will play out. They'll have a one or two or maybe even a top three class. I think it may ultimately be one if they get Hazelwood. But, you know, this is a big deal because now, potentially, and once it goes down, you've got Fields becoming, in essence, a free agent. And now the number one guy that everybody wanted last year is once again available.
Yep, and we're still going round and round with a lot of listeners here on our Twitter page. You can follow us, by the way. Carl has put them up, C. Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL, and we are at Dukes and Bell 929. You can always go there and find out where Coney Brewery's got our Hey Man Ale, so you can go grab yourself some holiday cheer. Makes a great stocking stuffer as well. But, I mean, the guys are saying they don't think Fromm is the man. Like, Fromm has done nothing wrong. You know, if you get the ball to Sony last year in the championship game, you probably beat Alabama and hang on. You know, I mean, yes, he struggled at times this year, but I just think that you to poo-poo Fromm as if somehow he's never going to get us there. That's ridiculous. Nothing.
Whoa. Do you blame Fromm for the loss against Alabama?
No.
In the SEC championship game? You got to be out of your mind if you do. Matter of fact, rewind. Do you blame Fromm for losing in the national championship game last year? The answer is no.
So, I mean, think about this. Alabama really had something to say about what you were trying to do, unfortunately, in your offensive line. Couldn't hold up. I think Chaney got tight again at times. But, I mean, look, it's not really – Fields is going to be a superstar somewhere. Fromm is a superstar here at Georgia. You know, he's the future. I mean, that's why – all I know is 2 5-star big swinging blank quarterbacks are gone somewhere else now, and Fromm has held on to his job. So, I mean, that's the reality right there. Eason, gone. Fields potentially gone. Maybe he stays. Look, Carl, there's nothing more I would love to see is Fromm light it up next year, goes to the NFL, and then Fields kicks butt for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be a perfect scenario.
But you can't expect, and then there's the other side of this. You had all these old farts going, what about commitment? You go be committed, okay? Literally and figuratively. This kid's got a chance to punch his ticket anywhere in the country. I just don't know why he went to Georgia in the first place knowing Fromm was there.
Yeah. The whole commitment thing. And again, I don't want to, you know, disparage that, Mike. I'm a man of my word. I try to be. You know, you talk about shaking a man's hand. We talk about it. Old school stuff, right? You look a man in the eye and you shake his hand and you say, I'm coming. Okay, but there's more to it than that. And, you know, I will tell you, and certainly things have changed. When I went through the recruiting process, I know what this is about. I understand it, and I know how some, not all, Some coaches will tell you anything to get you there. So, you know, for parents who are involved in this process, who are listening to this show, you guys understand. You know, you've heard these coaches in your living room. You know, you've been to these visits. You understand that there's more to it than that. So, yes, Mike, there is an element of, oh, he said he was coming and he should stay. But there's also an element of when I have a future, all right, at the next level. And not everybody does in the program, by the way.
Right.
You know, Georgia's got 80 scholarship kids. They're not sending 80 guys to the NFL. So if you're one of those unique individuals that has a shot to do that, man, you got to go. You got to go take your shot, as we say. You got to take your shot.
Right.
Not talking about relationships.
But well, I mean, when you're younger.
Or women.
When you're younger, some of that applies. Hey, man, once you're in a loving, committed relationship, the answer would be no, Carl. We're waiting to hear if Ron Hunter's going to get us on the horn here to talk about Georgia State. We usually talk to him this week. But if not, we'll catch up with Ron tomorrow. Randy and I will be up at Falcons. Carl, as you start your holiday sojourn with the family, and a lot of people already starting to plan. Do you get all your shopping done, by the way?
Done.
Everything.
Yeah, I've been ahead of it, man. Thank goodness. But I got to tell you, I don't know what I'd do without the internet. I don't know what I'd do. I used to be the guy that would go out and, you know, try to go to the stores and like to see stuff physically and touch it.
Right.
And now I'm just like, it looks nice. I don't even, I mean, honestly, I'm like, oh, that looks like it'll work. So, yeah, man, I am done. I'm figuring you are not.
There's a few more gift cards out there. Just a quick trip to CVS. It's easy. I figure Squid Billy's a Home Depot card, and Sam, I'm thinking Piccadilly Cafeteria. And then we're set and we're done. They were all done, ready to roll.
Piccadilly, huh?
Folks? Sam, you can speak.
Oh, Piccadilly? That's what you're going to go with for me? I mean, do a better job for the fat kid over here. Hey, I wait till I'm told to speak. You know, I try to follow the rules
over here.
Squid
Billy's about to be a homeowner. He's moving from the condo, so I figure a Home Depot will probably come in handy.
Yeah, maybe put a couple zeros at the end of it, whatever it is. But there's nothing wrong with Piccadilly's, Brian. Nothing wrong with that.
Let me get like some Popeyes or something better.
Is the Piccadilly's the cafeteria style? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah. There used to be a place called Morrison's, a town center in Barrett Parkway.
Right.
Oh, that place was great.
Squid went there for Thanksgiving growing up.
You know what? That might be them. It had a chocolate fountain. Shut up. You know what? That might be our game winner tonight. Old restaurants that don't exist anymore.
Mm, okay.
Write that down so I don't forget it.
There's a ton of them.
See what I did?
Right.
But there's a ton of them. I will say this, though. Atlanta has such good food, man. We are so lucky as a city.
Oh, right on.
I mean, with all the great food options we have, great chefs. It's unbelievable, the restaurants. What's up? What's up,
Sam? How was the food at the company party that I wasn't able to attend today?
Well, I just had a piece of chicken. But it was delicious, I will tell you.
Yeah, we had a couple of interviews. You want to give full disclosure here?
Absolutely.
So we had a couple of interviews.
It was on the company's dime. Who cares?
In the 3 o'clock hour, you heard, obviously, our conversation with Travis Schlenk from the morning show. And then you heard Arch and Wes talking to Grady. And in those 30 minutes, Crow and I drank as many bourbon and tonics as we could right down the street at establishment. Actually, no, it was what I have there. I had the what's that rye I drink from Utah?
High West.
Yeah, High West double rye.
See, that's how many he had.
Yeah, a splash of ginger beer. Had a couple. I knew it was something. Was some brown liquor.
High West.
And they had some chicken, some spicy meatballs. But how about everybody was dancing, going bananas. Great 90s and early, late 80s music. V103 on the ones and twos. What a scene over there.
It was good to see everybody. Again, you like, I don't know what it's like in your building or your office. But, you know, we don't get a chance to see everybody all the time. And so, you know, for the most part, I see Mike every day, and I see the guys we work with in our immediate, you know, area. But it's good to catch up and see a lot of the folks that obviously work with the same company and get a chance to catch up with them. So, yes, that's what we're doing. Hey, Falcon Report's on the way. Real quick, I do have an update when it comes to our Falcons guys, and I want to mention this because we were talking about the idea of Ito Smith. Ito going on the IR. So the Falcons, if you missed this, have signed running back Jeremy Langford to the active roster from the practice squad, that is. As expected, Ito Smith placed on IR. So Langford has 10 rushing TDs in 28 career games. So, again, you got a viable backup as you move forward for the last two games of the season. And then the Falcons also waived wide receiver Julian Williams from the practice squad and signed Christian Blake and offensive lineman Chris Durant to the practice squad. So just some moves being made as you put some guys on the IR.
And we'll talk more about it tomorrow. Again, we get a chance. We don't get to be out there Monday for Dan Quinn's press conference, but on Wednesday up at the branch, we get a chance to talk to Coach. And I'm going to ask him, I go, where were these blitzes earlier in the season? You know, he's not going to throw the Cardinals quarterback under the bus, but do you think that was a byproduct of knowing because of the rookie quarterback and how bad that O-line was, they were able to do some of the things they would not have tried in other games?
Well, I think that played into it, Mike, but I also think you're at a point in the season where you didn't have anything to lose. I mean, honestly, what are you going to lose by blitzing? And let's just say they beat us a couple of times. If that happened, it wouldn't have surprised anybody. So you might as well, at this point, pin your ears back and go for it. I just hate the fact that I think this could have been effective in some of the games prior to the Cardinals game. And that's what's so frustrating and maddening for me.
I mean, you just feel that, and this is something about Marquand Manuel and the Tom Pelissero article from NFL Network about, are we going to make some, all right, so we're going to fire some assistant coaches? Great. And you'll be blown away, guys, if you missed Carl and I's tease earlier. Wait till you hear the name that's been linked to potentially being the new OC for the Falcons. Some of you might go, bleh, when you hear it. I know I did.
Yeah, a guy sent me one of those memes, Mike, with Medea, and he was like, no, hell no.
So, yeah, there's a name I brought up earlier, and I don't know it's feasible because he's getting up there and he's had some health concerns, but we'll tell you all about that in our Domino's Falcon report. You guys can always light us up via the Twitter and, of course, the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. But, yeah, a lot of people today, the big story, obviously, all day long has been Justin Fields. Again, hasn't left anybody yet, still practicing with Georgia. But because of the new NCAA rules and the transfer portal, which are now apparently he's going to be in, basically he can go almost anywhere. And if he gets that hardship waiver, and there's a scenario there where he could because of, unfortunately, an incident that happened at the Tennessee game, that he can basically go anywhere.
Yeah, you'll hear Dan Wolkin coming up at 6:20 here on the program, who kind of explains this new procedure. And I think it's important to kind of understand because, again, the recruiting rules have certainly changed, but also the transfer rules have changed. And I think this is why a lot of people are like, it's not confirmed. Well, it's not confirmed because Georgia has time after Fromm or Fields tells them, a few days, in fact, before they put it on this portal where everybody then finds out about it. You'll hear Dan Wolkin coming up at 6:20.
Falcon Report, guys. Also, see if you can hear the jackhammer in the background. There's work being done here in Midtown at Colony Square.